Christina might be joining us soon. Going to introduce us as the next in the master class series for the coming out in a couple of weeks, Path to Pet Wellness, which is right over here, which hopefully is something you all have. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the reason we're doing this master class today, sorry about that, is because it's a great thing to have a book with some information in it, even if it's transformative information. But then the question is, do you do with the information? And that's what Holistic Actions is all about, actually. The two came around about at about the same time. So today we've got a bunch of HA members that are gonna, share their story, or share whatever they want to share or not. And please, all you HA members that may not want to say a word, or if we run out of time, please go ahead and just write in the chat because we all want to hear your story. And where I would love to begin today, and just double check here. Yep, sorry, where I would love to begin today is just thinking about, it's like I've been sitting here all this morning with my constant companion, Miss Maya, my pups. So just think about who your pet is, what they really represent in the world, and how you feel when you're with them. And the reason for that last part is because the way we feel is we usually share that unconditional love. And the book and HA are all about using love, or harnessing the power of love as an energetic medical force. So, in other words, something that can improve the health of your animals. Quick example is, actually, let's save any examples till when people talk about their examples. But hopefully, over the next few months, but it could happen today as well. Hopefully, we'll all share a bit of a transformation because we've been bombarded with a huge amount of information, but that's overwhelming information that tends to really not help us in the long run. And what it does really is drive us into a place of fear, and we make quick reactive decisions instead of responding mindfully, which we can only do when we're in a place, presence, calm, pausing. Things that we're gonna teach in HA all this year relating to the path. So, my hope is that these stories that you can hear today is going to help you see what's possible in healing. Because, in medicine, we usually give you guys the worst case scenario. What does this disease potentially mean? And I can tell you, as a veterinarian scientist, and somebody's had now over 40 years of experience, that in human and animal medicine, that what we were taught is not what is possible of the body. I mean, did we know that we can cure from diseases like pneumonia, or bloody noses, or we can even regrow? I mean, there's a story in the book about a dog that regrew, or at least had evidence of regrowing his kidney function. A dog that was only born with one kidney, that was given a drug as a puppy because it was lame, and it knocked out the kidney function, and the dog was given a couple of months to live because he was in kidney failure. But about a decade later, he was running around winning championships all around the world, despite the fact they had already seen dozens, literally dozens of vets and vet specialists, because again, the information they were getting
Well,
was all based on physical framework, and we're going to be talking about the love-based and energetic-based framework. So is there anyone here? And I'm looking at you, Christy. Is there anyone here, Christine, that would like to share? And what I'll do is actually, rather than bring you up here, I'll add this first. And maybe give me the honor, Christine, of joining me up here. Okay. Okay. Let's go
thank
for
you.
it. Let's do it. All right.
I'm a little nervous, but thank you so much for this opportunity. Hi, everyone. I'm Christine. I currently have three cats. First time kitty guardians. Previously, I had two doggies. So I met Dr. Jeff many, many years ago when I've had my Maltese. He has some health challenges. And before then, I was just a typical pet parent. You know, whatever the pet tells me, I do. You know, the shots, the vaccines, you know, feeding kibble, special diet. I would just follow their order, I guess. But he has some health challenges. That's when I started to explore into different options to give him optimal health. And that's how I found out about Holistic Actions. So throughout the years, I'm so thankful about Dr. Jeff's BEAM, BEAM, as a determination, is something, a method for us to really determine how our pets are doing. It's just a beautiful guy in helping us, you know, to make that, to make a holistic decision for our pet. And also, what I'm trying to say is, I have learned to look at my pet as each as an individual sentient beings that deserve to be heard and respected. And whenever there's a health challenge or something pops up, I have learned to slow down, take a breath, and truly observe what their symptoms, what their bodies are trying to tell me. And now I also make the conscious effort of staying calm because I have learned that our energy affect their energy. If we start to panic or, you know, get really nervous and stressed out in finding a way to help them, I felt that they can sense it and that stressed them out. So I have learned that, you know, it is best for us to stay calm and just take a breath and truly observe and see what their bodies are trying to tell us. And ultimately, I have learned that the power of our bodies that can heal ourselves. Yeah, that is something that I did not know. Before, I would just listen to the vets and, you know, give whatever medicine the vets tells me to give to my pets. But now I have learned to think about how I can support my pets to support to help their bodies to heal itself. Just about 3 weeks ago, one of my kitties had a really bad case of vomiting. She vomited some digestive food, undigested food, and she seemed a little lethargic. Instead of panicking, start checking with Dr. Google. I slowed down, I took a breath, and I start observing to see how her behavior, energy, appetite, and mood was. And I also grabbed my flower essences, my CC pad, and, you know, rub those on her. And gave her a CC pad treatment to see to kind of boost her energy, her cellular energy. And just within like 3 hours, she was just back to her normal self. I thought that was just amazing. I thought that was a great story to share because before I was like, oh my goodness, I have to rush her to the vet. The vet needs to examine her and to see what is wrong with her and maybe give her metronidazole or the anti-inflammatory, I don't know how you call it. Yeah, medication. But now I have learned, okay, we have other modalities that we have at home. Number one, stay calm. Number two, grab flower essences, rub it on her, and just tell her I love you, and we're here. And I have also learned this great saying, your love, you're well, all is well. Your love, you're safe, all is well. So I thought that was amazing because I feel like she actually calmed down after I started saying that to her. So that was great. Yeah, so that was one good example to share. It's one of the HMDM thing that I learned from Holistic Action. And I also would reach out to my pet parents on the forum asking them for advice. And so it's just a great supportive community where we can get information and yeah, support. I guess what I'm trying to say is that before Holistic Action, I never really believe in our bodies, but the power of our bodies to heal itself. So now I know. And I have learned that my role as a pet guardian is not someone who make decisions for them and just suppress their symptoms by giving them medication. But now I will take a step back and observe and, just calm down and see how I can be supportive to their recovery and ultimately deep healing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Christine.
Yeah.
That was great. But I do want to mention, because you brought it up, alluded to it, but I do want to talk about Kobe a little bit, if you don't mind, because the way I met Christine, and again, this is not about me, it's about a framework, very simple, definite framework that works. It's all described here. You can read the book in under a couple hours. It's designed for 100% for the reason that people get the information. Just know that there's a different way out there than maybe what we know otherwise. And Kobe was her Maltese that Christine was talking about, as I mentioned. And when I met Kobe, and quite familiar, I'm going out. I'll just quickly say, for Dr. Messier, he had a ruptured chordae tendineae. So the dog's heart was not doing well. And the reason I brought him up, Christine, I'm sorry, because I know it's the snuff-o-mats.
Yeah.
That's one tool we have to share today.
Oh yes, Kobe. Dr. Jeff taught me about snuffomat, and Dr. Jeff, you can share better. I'm just not a very good speaker, but then Kobe and I would have snuffomat session 3 to 4 hours a day every day, and he would just snuffle away. And wow, that boy was so happy. Every time after he's done with his snuffle session.
Yeah, and not only do they get happier when they snuffle and get treats, but they're actually also optimizing the mitochondrial energy, the mitochondrial function, the energy flow in their body that, as Christine determined or saw firsthand during her HMDM moment a couple of weeks ago. That was the one that you were talking about, right, Christine? Is that what? Yeah. HMDM, for those of you guys that don't know, is the system that is in the book that we teach called holistic medical decision making. And it starts with just what we're doing here today, and that is knowing what you're going to do if your animal's in, a critical condition, you rush them right to the vet. So your HMDM step one is very, very easy. But then, we start to pause and we start to research and do all the rest of the steps. So thank you, Christine. I mean, Kobe had how many snuffle mats? 10?
He had 13, or actually 14 snuffle mats. He
Actually,
had it throughout the house, on his ramps, just Oh yeah,
and this is the one that
that's
Christine turned me on to, that my guys have all, I know my is like, you can load that up for what? So anyway, so thank you, Christine. I don't want us to run out of too much
Thanks,
time,
Phil.
so
How are you?
we will we will
Haven't texted you because I didn't see if you had
okay.
responded to the text on this.
Just gonna do this and this, and we should be okay. And let me let Christine off there. And is there anyone else? It looks like Eva was gonna say something. Eva, are you here? Because I don't see you.
Instead, that's why I got it.
Okay, well, do we, Kristen, do you want to say something?
I can say a little bit.
All right, well, let's see if I can do what Zoom can do. It's spotlights. So, Kristen.
It's my first time being spotlit. So I have been around a long time. I came to Holistic Actions, I think, along with Christina, Dr. Christina Chambrow. She became my vet a long time ago when my local vet suddenly died. My holistic vet that was in central Pennsylvania suddenly died. And the people that used her all got together and found Christina, and then we went to her, and then she brought me to Holistic Action. So that's, oh my gosh, a long, it feels like a long time ago, Dr. Jeff. I've always had dogs as an adult. Well, I had cats, but they were gone by the time I came to Holistic Actions, and they've all been adopted. Dogs, older dogs. I loved senior dogs. And my first adventure with learning about this way of living with animals was through food. And I had great success. Food seemed to take care of everything just by changing diet, watching what only getting vaccines. Like rabies, if it was required, and delaying as much as I could for rabies. Now I have a dog. He's here. I don't know how well you can see him. That's Bhakti. And he's been with me about 16 months. He's a different dog. He's a little younger. Thank you. He's a little younger than what I normally adopt. And he is a fearful dog. And I'm finding that really challenging for me. So the best strategy that I've used in the last 16 months is just listening to him, listening and paying attention, excuse me, to what he's trying to communicate to me. When I looked back over this past year, I realized that that has worked. He is becoming a dog now. He's not a fearful dog. He's becoming a regular dog who barks occasionally when people come to the door. Instead of running and hiding, he's participating more with people in my house, which is safe. And it was just through practicing patience and listening to him, being open to what he wanted to tell me, not what I wanted or what other people wanted me to do for him. And those are things that I learned through holistic actions and lots of observation, especially with Beam, no trouble with appetite. But we had to, I had to look at mood and behavior a lot. And it wasn't an aggressive thing, it was a shutdown thing. But he's turning into quite a nice dog. Now he's 7 years old, so I'm used to getting them at 10 or older. So that's about all I have to say right now,
Yeah,
being
it's
not thinking about it
marvelous.
too much.
Sure. No, thank you, Kristen. And I just wanted to highlight, what we teach. And again, this isn't about me or AJ, but it is about everybody going out and buying not one, but maybe two, three, 20 copies of the books that you can give away. I mean, right now my goal is to give away as many books, ebooks or hard copies as possible. And reason I'm saying that is because it's all based on one of the pillars. There are three pillars in the book. There's VBS, which stands for the Vitality and Balance System. There's the Beam Blueprint, which is the uses of Beam. And then there's something which Kristen was just alluding to called conscious compassionate communication. And I'm bringing that up because Kristen actually joined us live here in Weston. Gosh, when was 2017? Almost a decade ago now. And the seminar was called Vitality and Balance Using Homeopathy. So that's really why we're all here today, is to get started on that path that Kristen just talked about. And Dr. Christina, do you want to say hi to Kristen before she goes?
Hi, Kristen. Good to see you.
Always good to see you, my dear.
She is one of the
All
best meditators and travelers I know.
Do you meditate with Bhakti?
I do. Oh my gosh, she gets everything. He's here with me all the time, all the time. And so whatever I'm doing, meditating, Reiki, Qigong, whatever, he's receiving if he wants, So, yeah.
That being said, now I'm curious. So if you can't think of any examples, don't bother. But I'm curious, if, like Christine mentioned about her kitty that stopped that symptom, I'm wondering if you found that meditation or presence or just getting quiet with him has helped him in any way.
Oh, absolutely. I am with Kathleen Prasad, like doing her, and I know she was just on maybe a couple weeks ago. And so the Let Animals Lead thing. So I do her meditations. And when I, at the beginning of the year, and I thought about the past year, her word for this year is listening. Last year it was stillness. When I started practicing stillness, I realized that's when I started him becoming still with whatever was going on inside of him, whatever anxieties or whatever. So it's absolutely, it's not anything I would stop, because I think it would affect me and it would affect him and our relationship. So, yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Great. And Maya just got up and wants to go for a run, so we may have to we'll see if she settles back down. But hi, Dr.
Or then I'll take
Christina.
over and you'll take Maya for a
Well,
run.
there you go. There you go. All right. Anything else, Christina, that you wanted to ask Kristen?
No, not for now.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for coming up, Kristen. Hey, and let's see, is there anyone else here? It looks like the chat's pretty
Please.
quiet. Elise, yes, we would love to hear from thee. Let's see if I can do it. All right. Yeah, there you go. Hello, Dr. Elise. How are you? What's your story about
Hi.
the past?
Thank you so much for inviting me today. And I have to say how much Holistic Actions and Dr. Christina and Dr. Jeff have had such an influence on my life. My dad was a holistic vet who passed away when I was a pediatric intern, and I looked for quite a while to find someone or somewhere that would be compatible with, my life of having 24/7 veterinary care available, at the touch of a button. And so I found a notice for a homeopathy class, and I signed up for it, and it was my introduction to Holistic Actions, and I joined and have been a member ever since. And I grew up with cats, but mostly I've had dogs for the last 25 years, and a fair number of them. They've all been rescues. And I have found, I really resonate with the things that Christine and Kristen mentioned. So many of the things that they talked about with their pets. But the beam algorithm or process has been so helpful to me in putting a structure on how I look at my dogs and compare them. I've always had two or three at a time, and sometimes that gets confusing, and sometimes I'll call one by the other's name or whatever. And so also the suggestion to keep a journal and have a way to keep track of each one, and that's especially important when some have different food allergies than others and all that other kind of thing. So what I wanted to I thought about a number of things to talk about today, but what I wanted to focus on is seizures, because I hadn't had a dog with seizures until about 6 years ago, when I had adopted a dog at age 12 who had an Italian Greyhound with advanced Cushing's disease, and he was surrendered by his family at that age. And I took him on, and he was a great Vinny. He was a great dog and integrated into the home with my other two. But he needed a lot, and I used the beam to really categorize the different aspects of his life and his living as a way for myself, and also with my veterinarians, to communicate about how he was doing and what areas he was doing well and not so well. And the other aspect of the holistic actions and Dr. Jeff's and Dr. Christina's approach, this whole thought about terrain theory, which my own interest is in integrative and functional medicine, and the idea of looking at what's behind the symptoms, because symptoms are signals, and they're not the definition, they're not the be all and end all, they're indicators, and we have to think about, do they indicate something that we need to do something about, or just something to watch, and how far do we go, and how much detail? Well, for Vinny, the whole idea of the terrain theory really was key, because He was not stable. He was on a high doses of conventional medications, which he did need some, but over the course of the 4 years I had him, and working with his nutrition and supplements and Chinese herbs and a lot of family work with the household and the other dogs and letting him be the kind of the grandfather at the time, as he was the oldest. He really thrived, and I was able to decrease his conventional medication down to about 10% of what it, what he came to me on, and he remained very, very stable until the very end of his life. And one day, I was in a class, an online class, and I think at that point we were in COVID, and he had a seizure in the middle of the day. And it was, I had seen seizures before in people and in animals, but I had never seen one like this, where it was so dramatic, with him screaming, and it lasted a long time. It was about 45 minutes, and he came out of it briefly and then went back into it, and then actually did seem to completely come out of it, and he was walking around and acting like his usual bossy self. And I did take him to get checked because it had been such a significant event, and I wanted to make sure his electrolytes were okay, because that was one of my concerns with the Cushing's, that if there was something that we needed to adjust, or fluids or whatever. But nothing was indicated. But when I took him home, brought him home, I continued to really, watch his beam over the course of the day. And again, it gave me an algorithm to keep myself calm, and be organized in my thinking about, what to do, and to think about when or if he might need further intervention. And about 15 or 16 hours later, he started to have more seizures, and he didn't come out of those. But I really felt that, because I had that process and that algorithm as a foundation, and I had used the terrain as a way of, approaching his nutrition and the supplements, and working with his mitochondrial function, his electrolytes, his microbiome, digestive enzymes, and even some support for his cognitive function with some other supplements. I really felt that I had done and given him what the best he could have with as little intervention as possible. And so he was a he had a big heart, and he had a big energy, and he touched a lot of people, because there were a lot of people who helped me with him. And so again, the framework has been really helpful. And then, since then, I'm on like four dogs since him, and three of them have had seizures, of various kinds, various whatever. And I think the one last thing I want to say is that the more you use the concept of beam and terrain, the more experience, in my experience anyway, the more experience I have with it, I feel the better I get at using it, and that having more experience with more issues with pets also kind of has helped me develop a little bit more confidence, and my willingness to stop and take a breath and let go. Because I think that's the hardest thing when a new or sudden event occurs. And you know how quickly to take action or to wait and see.
Well, awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Really.
Thank you so much for helping him. My
And it'd be
God.
interesting to see looking, stepping back at the context also to really dig in with, what is it that's happening around you that might be, triggering those dogs with seizures, or maybe they're coming to you so you can become an expert in energetically treating dogs with seizures and being able to stop seizures with one of the many energetic forms, or there's so many different reasons, but it's sort of significant that that's happening, I
It
think.
is interesting. Yeah. Well, so I am a psychiatrist, so I wonder if, because all the dogs I have taken in, again, all rescues have all had one type or another of behavioral problems or physical problems that have manifested as behavioral problems. And one dog had seizures because he was hypothyroid. One who had been very reactive throughout her life, who I just lost a year ago or a year and a half ago, and had severe anxiety, separation anxiety, and was really unadoptable. And she got to be a great dog. And she woke up one morning at about age 12, and that was really young for me, for an Italian Greyhound, because I had dogs living to 16, 17, 18. And she woke up one morning and she had left-sided neglect. So she basically couldn't see what was on her left side. So she had had a
Brain
stroke.
injury.
And then later on that day, she had seizures. And with talking with my veterinarian and all, I mean, we didn't do an MRI, but it was pretty clear we felt that she had a brain tumor that was undiagnosed. And looking back at her history, she had nystagmus, which so that her eyes, for those who don't know, her eyes moved back and forth. She couldn't really focus on you, and that so.
It wasn't the stibular.
But what a great job.
So,
What a great job you've done with them. That's wonderful. Great shares for people to learn from.
and you brought up so many important points, Lisa. Well, first of which I think is probably the majority of people here, or the majority of people in general, aren't sure what you mean when you say train. And I know it sounds like train, and when I say it, but train. And by that, we mean the inner terrain, inner environment. The terrain theory came up at the same time as Louis Pasteur developing his germ theory. And of course, pasteurization and getting rid of germs became the mainstay for medicine from there on in. But near the end of Louis Pasteur's life, he acknowledged that it actually is the terrain that's more important than the germ. And that is one of the big take-homes in the book, that we can determine if we or our pets are sick from a virus or anything else by trying to manage our inner terrain. So the better balanced we are, whether it's more mindfulness, more presence, more nature exposure, eating better, but all the things that you did, at least to help mitigate those seizures at the beginning when you first adopted the pup, I think those were all things that were, as you said, optimizing his terrain. And the other big issue that you brought up, I think, is again something that we're not really recognizing in veterinary medicine, and that is that it's all connected. So brain and behavior are a great example of seizures or behavior issues. Behavior issues are really the early manifestation of what could become, a physiologic brain condition.
And we've had
So,
a number of, Sue Wagner did one. We've had several webinars. If those of you who are members to go back and dig through the past webinars, you'll see ones on the brain behavior. I think we did a whole month on brain and behavior, actually.
we did, and we will again this year. And we are really fortunate, and I'm so sorry she left, that the amazing neuroscientist and trainer and whatnot, Irit Bloom, is going to be teaching us all about the brain and
Right.
behavior
Yeah,
and
right.
behavior and dog
Absolutely.
training and how it all relates together.
Yep.
So yeah,
So
now
true.
Elise, thank you. Oh, I did have one last question for you, and that is, you're one of the people that went to medical school and got, all that information in you. I realize that you knew before you even started school through your dad that there was
Yep.
maybe other ways of thinking, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are right now with the integration of what we're talking about and what we learn in vet school or medical school. What do you
Like,
s
is it shifting? Is that what you're asking, Jeff? Is it changing from what it used to
Well,
be, or?
we know it's changing, but do you think it's feasible? Because it really is looking at things from two different directions, right? The physiologic and physical stuff that we learn in school, and what we're talking about here, which is all that matters most, which is the energetic and spiritual stuff. Whether it's your Qigong, Kristen's Qigong, or any energy medicine. Do you, as a trained physician, feel that, that's something that should be informing every medical decision or
So
not?
I personally and professionally feel that the energetic and spiritual and emotional aspects should be informing all decisions and should be informing our lives as a whole. And I think over time, we've always tended to compartmentalize things, and so the body's in one place, the mind's in another place, the spirit's in another place. And I do think things are shifting. I see that there are more places where people are finding common ground between conventional and complementary approaches. I think in both veterinary medicine and human medicine, I also think that there's a long way to go. And some of that, I think a lot of it has to do with the structure of the medical system and the structure of medical and veterinary education. And also, in general, what in the past has been a lack of support to the people who are the healthcare providers, including, veterinary students and medical students, and what it means to be, working at this level, on a day-to-day basis, with seeing the number of the number of people or the number of animals and families. And as a veterinarian, you're seeing, you're seeing pets, and you're seeing the families, and you're seeing the home situation. I think in some ways you guys have it harder than we do in human
medicine, or at least
Well,
get.
except for pediatrics, you have it equally hard with those little
Yeah,
babies
yeah,
who can't
it,
talk.
yeah. But I think the support. I think there really needs to be the acknowledgement of the need for support, and the world is a complicated place right now, but it always has been. And I think that it's one of the things that I really respect also about holistic actions and your efforts to bring people in at whatever place they are, because to really emphasize compassion and love and community and those things that I think are the things that are going to bring us together. I don't think there's any easy answer with medicine or veterinary, human medicine or veterinary medicine. It's, I just actually recently was, because I volunteer with a rescue. That's why I get so many rescue dogs, I guess. Anyway, I was at the ER with a dog a couple weeks ago, and who had developed sudden kidney failure, and unfortunately, he didn't make it. And the ER wasn't that busy that night, but about a week later, when I went back to pick up his ashes, the ER was packed. And I know that it's a very well-run, excellent veterinary hospital, and I couldn't help but think about the veterinarians and the staff and the liaisons who were there having to manage this, because I know what it's like to be in the pediatric ER, and that's also a tough spot. And I think anything that we can do to support the people who are providing health care in the homes, in their homes, and the medical professionals who are on the front lines is really critical. So I don't know if I answered your question, but.
So thank you for bringing up something. Anytime you have ideas from your experience of things that could be done, especially by individuals, let us know. We could include it in an email. Let me know. I'll put it in my monthly newsletter. Because that's how we can spread the word about what can be done, because you're looking at it from that perspective of, giving more support and how we can support on both sides. So that'd be great.
And thank you, Elise, for sharing. And I wonder if we can expand a little bit, or what you're feeling. What are we doing on time? We have a few minutes.
6 minutes.
Because you mentioned something, the vet ER, and you're right, it's overwhelming, it's stressful. We are in the middle of a veterinary crisis. I mean, we are losing veterinarians, people are not becoming veterinarians, and suicide rate is skyrocketing among veterinarians. So you knew I was going to do this, Veronique, but I'm going to ask you if you have any comments. And again, it could be in the chat or verbally. Thanks again, Elise. I'm gonna put you down there and see if Veronique wants to share anything about your journey. How did you even find us at Holistic Actions, which again was before the book, and we're not talking about Holistic Actions, but Holistic Actions is the way to do the actions in the book. So, Veronique, what brought you to HA?
You mean how I found Holistic Actions? Yeah, I was actually referred to Dr. Feynman by my own homeopath, which was interesting. But I was also starting to learn. I'm a veterinarian. I graduated in 1998 from the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine in Saint-Hyacinthe, Quebec. Went to Ontario after that and worked And I've had my own practice for 15 years, was working prior to that as well. But I ended up closing my practice in 2018. I'll make it quick because I know there's not a lot of time. But yeah, so I was getting quite burnt out, to be honest. I'm by myself, almost by myself up north in a small community. And I had my practice for 15 years and doing emergencies and three children to take care of that were waking up at night, and emergencies were waking me up at night. So to be honest, I do agree that help is needed. There are some call lines that are available for veterinarians to call. I don't have any number at the tip of my hands. I've never really used it. But there are some possibilities that way. But I do agree that support is needed. I didn't burn myself out. I actually closed my practice for lifestyle balance. I was able to do it with my husband's work, and we were able to financially do it. But all that to say that I was also seeing a little bit of the limits of conventional medicine in my last couple of years, and that made me reflect even more. And when I closed my practice to take time with kids, I started learning about homeopathy more, and that's where I got to holistic actions. I took a human homeopathy course with the Canadian College of Homeopathic Medicine for 4 years, graduated in the fall of 2024.
Was that Joe Kellerstein's? Was Joe Kellerstein on that one? Yeah.
Dr. Joe Kellerstein was teaching the whole
Okay.
course on the Organon, which was a pre-recorded class, and he was doing clinics as well, which was so useful.
So, are you now using homeopathy with animals? Are you going to start a telemedicine practice?
I telemedicine in Ontario, I don't think is possible unless we have a present relationship with the client, having examined the animal before. I'm gonna have to check on the College of Veterinarians of Ontario on that to see what their abilities are exactly, but they are a bit strict on that, less since COVID, but we'll have to check on that. But I am actually taking the VHI course on veterinary homeopathy at the veterinary homeopathy the institute, the veterinary homeopathy institute, and I started that just in January. So the year that there is in between there, because I graduated in 2024, but we actually traveled, my family and I, for a sabbatical year. The three kids, my husband and I, for a year, and we just got
Great.
back in July last year. So that's what kind of delayed a little bit my homeopathy training after my graduation. And
But
I'm
it
here.
enhanced your balanced life.
There you go.
That's what's
Exactly. Yeah.
so
And we got to
important. You'll
meet
be
in
a better
person when you
homeopath
passed
for
for that.
and I use homeopathy with my kids, my animals, and I plan to use it at a grander scale, of course,
Good.
when I go back to work
Good.
after all the little details that I need to finish to be in
That's
good
great.
standing a homeopath in Ontario. I need to be part of the College of Homeopaths of Ontario to do that. So yeah, so I plan to do human and veterinary homeopathy to
Perfect.
do both.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but right there, I'm Dr. Messier Veronique is going to be one of the readers at the book launch party because one of her amazing stories of one of her kitties is in the book as well. And we're going to be highlighting some of those stories.
This meeting is being recorded.
The reason I asked Veronique is because of what we were talking about beforehand. And let me just see what it, there you go. Okay, thanks. Sorry about that. And that is the stress that we have as vets. And the burnout rate and all the things that both you and Elise and we've all talked about. And I'm wondering about your perspective. Do you think that what we're talking about, whether it's strategies in the book or presence or meditation or any of the things that we're not taught about, do you think that learning about that in school would have been useful tools for us as veterinarians?
Oh, for sure. And I'm looking forward to read it in your book as well, and I'm sure a lot of tricks are going to be helpful. A lot of modalities for, against stress. But yeah, and really, I agree with a lot of other people too that that mentioned using the beam method, because I mean, knowing you, and yes, my cat was quite sick, and you've helped him for at least a year and a half on, until he passed. But using the beam was very, very useful and reduced my stress, I found, in you know, making informed medical decisions, and as much as I could in what was going on with my cat. But yeah, so definitely. And I think that can all be used for ourselves as well. Like you said, meditation, Qigong, several of these methods can be, it's energetic, and so many of these methods can be very, very helpful, energy wise. And if the energy flows, then the stress reduces, I think. So, yeah,
Which
definitely.
then reduces the stress in the animals.
Yeah, consequently,
Yeah.
yes, and I've
And that's why
seen.
it's wonderful that you're going to be treating both people and animals because they often reflect and mirror each other so much. Before we wrap up, I do want to address Christine's
Thank you.
question.
All right,
Thank you,
I'm sorry. I'm
Veronique.
gonna
Thank
you know
you
for all that you're
thank you.
doing,
Oh, thank you.
Dr.
Oh,
Christine and Dr. Jeff.
thank
Christine
you.
said, "How can we pet parents help get the word out, have this happen?" And one thing, I mean, I love actually, Christine, it'd be so wonderful if you would start a thread in the forum promoting holistic thinking or something like that. But one I would do is wherever you live, contact every local news outlet and say, "Hey, how about some articles on raw food feeding? How about some articles on homeopathy?" Contact the Natural Awakening magazine, which is done all around the country. Suggest more of the veterinary on that, on the holistic on that, et cetera. And of course, you all are already doing it with your own veterinarians. But the group we need to reach out to are holistic people healers. So, Veronique, for instance, as you're talking to colleagues that you did the 4-year course with, remind them every client, every patient who comes to you, and you're taking the case and you find out they have animals in their life, which you do, or you haven't done a good case taking, make sure that they say something. Remember, you can use all of this for your animals as well. And if you need support, you can become a member of Holistic Actions.
And what a great way to end, because what I was going to share with you all at the end here was, oops, there are currently no participants. Oh, wait, I was going to share a link here and a code for 25% off the book. If you want to pre-order or order when it comes out, you'll get your discount. And all the fantastic people here that already have their book, this is a great way to get a book that you can then give to a
Perfect.
friend, for sure, and do what Dr. Christina said. And
Yeah,
anything
give
you
one to
want
your
to,
veterinarian.
well, maybe that would be a bit of a waste in some cases,
No,
but
it's
yeah,
not.
let
Somebody in the clinic. Figure out who in the
somebody
clinic
in
is
the
the first one to read it and encourage everybody in the clinic to read it. And every time you come to the clinic, "Hey, did you read the da-da-da that was in the book? Did you read about that case that this Canadian vet, this cat, this Canadian vet had, and what happened with that one?" Or, you know, like that. Make it fun.
It's a great idea because I'm actually already doing that and just going to places and saying, "Is anyone here that wants to hear about what we're talking about?" And spread the word that way because there always is. So always somebody that
International shipping, Jeff.
it depends where you order. Oh, from the Morgan James
Can the
store.
books be shipped
I
internationally?
actually asked the publisher this morning because somebody from Australia asked me about that as well. So I'll let you know.
Oh, you don't know yet. Okay. I
But
would
I mean
assume there
that it's
is.
available.
It's on it.
But
It'll be on Amazon, right?
Yes, yeah, and
So
it's
that's
available
international shipping,
locally.
Charlotte.
Well, but I think she was asking about with the discount, because the
Oh,
discount, you've
oh.
got to order from the publisher.
Oh, got it.
So
Okay, sorry.
anyway, well, we will see you guys all next week doing the same kind of stuff. We're always going to be doing the same stuff because really it's just one way that we're all connected, and there's one framework that explains it all. And it all stems around our love with our animals. And I'm very lucky. My Marie went back.
Yeah.
Oh, she went back to sleep.
Oh, she
She
went back
says,
to
went back
sleep.
to
She's
sleep.
maturing.
She's maturing. She's turning into a real dog, like she says. So again, thank you all for coming. I really appreciate your presence, your willingness to do this to help the animals, because we're really here for the animals' sake. Thank you, and thank you, Dr. Christine, for coming.
Thank
Bye
you, Dr.
bye.
Jeff, and everybody who came. Have a wonderful, wonderful
Thank
day.
you.
Thank you.
Thank
You
you all for
too.
the speakers. Thank you.